All right, so we're just stringing a few here, a few practices together this week, trying to, as we talked about earlier in the week, cover some situations, cover some loose ends, installation, things like that that we didn't have done. So we'll try to take advantage today, tomorrow of a couple more days of those type things, situations, installation, tying up some loose ends, and then roll into Philly here at the end of the week and you're ready for them on Monday night. So that's our plan for today.
Phil, it looks like you've been working, at least giving looks for some stuff you might see in the regular season, whether it's 3-4 or Wildcat, stuff like that. What do you expect out of that? I mean, if a game's further down the line, you're just hoping something clicks, something sticks now, and then you revisit in the future, or
does it work? We're working on things that we know we're going to see them during the year at some point. You know, we're going to see unbalanced line. We're going to see wildcat. We're going to see five down looks on defense. We're going to see odd spacing, even spacing. You know, some things that we don't do. And so it just, you know, when you put the play in, you put the play in against, you know, the different looks that you're going to see. Some of them you see. Some of them you walk through, but sometimes you feel like you just need to run the play against a coverage or a blitz, or if our offense doesn't run a play, like our quarterbacks aren't big scrambling quarterbacks, so plays where the quarterbacks run around bootlegs and nakeds and things like that that we don't see a lot of from our offense, are plays that our defense needs to see, because we're gonna see those somewhere along the line. So that's part of what this is for, is to just catch up on our installation, see things that we haven't worked on because we don't run them ourselves and we can't count on getting them in the preseason games.
At least from the outside, it looks like it's still a very crowded position of wide receiver. How is Dante Stallworth done when it comes to taking advantage of those opportunities he's got in camp?
Good. I think Dante's had a solid camp. He's shown that he still has his speed, athletic, gets down the field well. He's tough, you know, comes in and blocks, and you know, good with the ball in his hands. So I think he's been very competitive with that group. I mean, they've all had their moments, like any receivers. They've, you know, plays that haven't been perfect, but it's been very competitive. So, you know, we'll kind of next three games here. And the remaining practices, we'll just try to sort it all out.
You getting any sense of how your defense is coming together, or is it just too soon?
I think they're working hard. I think our defensive players have, we've been, most of them have been out there quite a bit of the time. They've had a chance to work on their techniques, and we've been able to work together, so that's been good. Of course, you know, we won't get put to the full test until we get to the regular season in any area of the game, but we have to compete against our offense every day, and I think they're working hard. I think we're, you know, we'll see where we're at. We still have a long way to go, but I like their attitude and their work ethic, and you know, we've got good competition at several positions, so we'll see how that works out.
Well, what have you liked about what you've seen between Patrick and Steve Gregory out there?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, they have a ways to go too, but it's, again, every day it gets better. Every day we get new situations and are able to anticipate things and react a little bit quicker, anticipate what's going to happen and get the calls out and, you know, make sure that we're doing the right thing based on the call and what we see. So that's, you know, each day, you know, we've covered a lot of situations this week that we didn't cover last week. So it's a lot of new learning, things that we haven't gone over, but we know are going to come up. And sometimes we don't get it right the first time or the second time, but hopefully eventually we will. And most importantly, we'll be able to get it quickly in the game when it actually does happen. So,
can you notice early in camp or early in a season when two players mesh or sync well? Is that obvious to you, or does it just take time and to develop?
Well, I think you've got to work with a lot more than just one other player. I mean, we have rotation in there at that position, but the safeties, as an example, like there's communication between the safeties that's important, but there's also very important communication between the safety and the corner on his side and the safety and the linebackers, whether it's the outside linebacker or the inside linebacker, depending on the formation. So, the safeties can look at each other and confirm, okay, this is what we're in, but I'd say the harder part of it is then communicating to their respective side of the ball, okay, this is what we're in, and then, okay, what do we have to do? And what you're doing over there could be independent from what I'm doing over here. So I think, honestly, that's the harder part of the communication, and it's always harder on defense to communicate at different levels. So for the safeties to communicate with the linebackers, for the linebackers to communicate with the defensive line, a lot of times it's easy to look over there and just make a, signal or say a word to a guy that you're in a meeting with or, you're working with all the time. It's something else when you've got to get a call to a defensive lineman who's in a three-point stance, may not even be listening to really anything. He's trying to get off on the ball, or a corner who's, again, standing out there, like he can't look inside and, what do you want to talk about? I mean, he's got to out there, focused on his receiver and that kind of thing. So the communication at different levels is, I think that's probably the most challenging part defensively. Not that there isn't communication between linemen, linebackers, and DBs, but I think it's even harder when you go, And then when you start getting into nickel and dime defenses and things like that, then the player who was a safety now is a linebacker, and a guy who was a linebacker maybe now is a defensive end or is part of the rush or situations like that. And that just comes from experience of knowing who's not whether the player's in the game or not, but what position he's playing. And that's something that not everybody's familiar with. I mean, not every defensive player knows exactly in this situation this guy's playing Sam, in this situation this guy's playing Mike, in this situation this guy's playing safety or whatever it happens to be. So that's that part of it's the communication is a little bit challenging too.
Defense building an identity now and a confidence now, and they have to, or is it too soon in terms of, you mentioned they haven't had that test of regular season yet?
Well, nobody's been tested, so I mean, I think our confidence level is good as a team in all three phases. I don't think we lack confidence.
Bill, were you happy to see Dane pass through waivers and stay in the program?
Sure, yeah. That's what we expected.
Bill, news came out this morning that the league's going to experiment with a new type of football with synthetic laces this weekend. Have you guys received them yet and tried them out?
News to me. It's the first I've heard about it, so. Sorry.
How's the new coach QB communication equipment?
Well, like most other things in technology, when it works, it's great. When it doesn't work, then it doesn't work. So, when it works, it's great.
It's better than that analog stuff?
That's really, I'm really pretty bad at that. When it comes to technology, I'm probably the worst. The on-off switch is, that's challenging for me. Yeah. Yeah, or when you have like the three remotes, one to turn it on, another to change the whatever, another for something else, like just to get the right remote to get it on. So I'm really not the person to ask. We have, people in our organization that are very good technologically, thankfully. But it's a challenging situation. You've got a lot of communication. You've got a lot of other things going on in every stadium, both in the stadium and externally. Something breaks down for a few seconds, it's important. It's not, okay, we got a while to get this fixed. I mean, you're out there trying to call a play and you can't communicate and you have to change, shift and signal it or however you want to handle it. It's so a few seconds seems like can be a big deal, even though it
it's only a few seconds. It could be the wrong time. It could be a big deal. So,
Bill, on the coach quarterback communication stuff, looked like yesterday, bottom end of half, end of game situational work. Mm-hmm. It seemed like, from our view, that you let the quarterbacks kind of control the let's clock it, let's call a timeout, whatever it was. As you get to the regular season, is that something that you'd want your quarterback to be able to handle? Is there a coach quarterback interaction? Is it exclusively the coach during the season, or is it kind of both?
We can handle that. We can handle that communication in practice, and we can handle it during the season, again, provided that it works. And if it doesn't work, then the quarterback's on his own. But once the play's over, then it does come on, although there is a split-second delay there. And so, you could say to the quarterback, clock, or whatever code word, whatever word you want to say. You could get that communication, as they're going up to the ball and do that. But if that goes out, then, of course, he has to make those decisions on his own, other than the timeouts, because the coach can call the timeouts. So we're okay on that. I mean, again, however long it takes to get the referee or official to call a timeout, but we can call him.
Value to lay the quarterback kind of control, and maybe the whole player, the whole offense, control it on their own without coaching assistance during practice, so they can...
Sure, we do that. Definitely. Yeah, we do that from time to time and let them call it and see how they do it and critique them. This is a good play. This is really probably not the play we want to run in this situation. And a lot of our plays are done without scripting too, so it's the same thing for the coaches. We look at what we've called and say, okay, this probably in this situation isn't really what we're looking for. We'd be better off doing something else, or we should change what this guy's doing because of the situation. So it's a constant flow of that, of the coach, quarterback, or defensive coach signal caller communication. Some of it's on their own, and certainly once we get to the 15-second mark, then the offense is on their own on the cutoff. So like we could be walking to the line of scrimmage, and if you had forgotten to tell the quarterback something, remind him to get out of bounds or something like that, then that would be on him.
With any technology, Bill, you always have to consider worst case scenario, it breaks down. I mean, you go over that constantly.
Absolutely. Right, there'll be days where we'll go without the headsets and do signaling, or we've used different things, signaling, wristbands, chalkboard, stuff like that. So depending on where we're playing, what we're doing, that we've used different techniques on that, but we definitely would practice that so that if it came up, we'd be able to handle it. And defensively, you have to be able to do that. You have to be able to signal if the communication goes down, then you got to get the information into your signal caller.
Bill, I know there's a lot of different measurements for how each player is developing, off the field in meeting rooms, but on the field, what's your impression of Ryan Mallett's improvement rate right now?
I think Ryan's improved significantly from last year.
Where you expected a second-year quarterback to be?
Yeah, again, I try not to get into those expectations because, who knows? And guys progress at different rates. But I think what you're looking for is for improvement, is to see players go out there and perform, take instruction, coaching, film, individual technique work, whatever it is, and then the next time they get a chance to perform, it's better. And the mistakes have been corrected. Now, inevitably, new things will come up, and we'll change things, and there'll be a new play. And so I don't want to say you're starting all over again, but it's a new play. It's a new read. It's a new situation. So we have to learn that one now, too. But I think for any player, you want to try to make sure that the player is improving. As long as he's improving, then not sure really how far it can go. Once they stop improving, for whatever the reasons are, once there's no more improvement, then you have to decide as an organization what value that player has at that level. And if you're happy with it and it's a good level, then great. And if it's not, then you don't think it's going to get any better, then you have to live with that or replace the player with somebody else that maybe isn't as good but you think will be better. Or, I mean, obviously if he's better, then that's an easy decision. But normally the harder ones are a player that you think is leveled off and another player who's not at that level but you think in time might surpass that level. And we've all been right and we've all been wrong on those type of decisions too, but that's kind of what you get into.
With Ryan, you just mentioned how you're moving along in practice. As we observe practice, we don't always have the context that you guys have as to what we don't have the context, not always, we never have the context you have as to what you've installed and what situations you're running in. So, you know, watching the 2-minute drill yesterday, you look at that is not what you, obviously, to borrow a phrase, not what you're looking for. But do you put that in the greater context of, look, this is the first time we're doing this at an up tempo? It's not what we're looking for, but it's more excusable in context.
Right. And again, Tom, I think what you look for is the overall execution by the whatever player it is of his assignment, his technique, and what happens on the play. And as some people like to do, you know, every touchdown pass is a great play and every interception was the quarterback's fault. And unfortunately, that's just not really the way it works. Sometimes we score in spite of ourselves, and sometimes the quarterbacks do the right thing and there are breakdowns somewhere else, and sometimes the quarterbacks throw interceptions like all of our quarterbacks have, like all of our receivers have dropped balls, like all of our coaches have made mistakes in some play calling or substitution or something that we've done. So that's the fewer the better. And the less costly, the better. But that's all, that's part of it. And as I've told, as I tell our players, that's part of what practice is for, is to take risks, to push it, to see how far it can go, to see how much you can do. Sometimes it's going to come up a little bit short, but if it's done in the right context, then you learn from that and you realize, well, this is how far I can go. And I can't gamble beyond this, but I can push it to this point. But if you never push it to that point, then I don't think you ever really know how far it can go. So, again, that's what practice is for. And every interception in practice or every play that doesn't get made in practice isn't necessarily a bad play. I think we can all learn from those plays, provided that we do learn from them and then apply it in a similar situation the next time it comes up, but particularly at the quarterback position. You know, there's some balls that you try to stick in there and you learn that you just can't do that. And then there's other times you learn that, you know, yeah, I can't. You know, there's times when this play's okay and it'll work. And there's other plays where you realize you can't do that. Sometimes that's part of it. And that's true of all quarterbacks. I wouldn't, not singling anybody out, I'd say every one that I've coached, and particularly one that I've coached here for a long time, we talk about that all the time. If you always make the safe throw and just, you know, take the easy throw, then, I mean, that's okay, but at some point, you're going to have to do more than that, and you better know what you can do and what you can't do, and better to find out in practice than, you know, in the middle of the fourth quarter that, no, I can't. I don't want to be doing that. That's not the time for it.
Bill, we heard from Logan the other day for the first time since his knee surgery, and he said he didn't have an MRI on his right knee. I assume that's because he didn't speak up. Wouldn't you like as much information as possible when you're dealing with a player and injury? I mean, did he just...
Yeah, that's really between the player and the trainer and the doctor. I really don't... Like, I'm not a doctor. I don't get involved in the medical diagnosis or treatment or cure or anything else. So the patient and the medical staff, they deal with injuries. We have a deal. I don't treat the patients. They don't call plays.
Did you at least have enough information to know, all right, we might need to keep an eye on Logan
because he's dealing with something, and if it gets any worse, we might have to maybe make a move. Did you at least have...
My information comes from the medical department, and what they say about a player's physical condition, then that's what I do. And when I call the plays, then they let the team run them. They don't get involved in that either. It's a simple relationship. They do their job. They're not coaches. I'm not a doctor. I don't try to be a doctor. They don't try to be coaches. It works a lot better that way. And so then we go out to practice, and the trainers put the player through those exercises or test them in whatever the area is, and then they come back and say, well, that went pretty good, so he can do this, and or we can let him do that. Or it didn't go so good, we're going to have to back him down today, and we'll try it again tomorrow. And then you guys come in here and say, well, what's the story on this guy? And then get all worked up because I can't see into a crystal ball and tell you how the player is going to feel and perform when he goes out there and does it. Especially when he didn't do anything on Saturday, didn't play on Sunday, we didn't practice on Monday, we didn't practice on Tuesday, and here we are on Wednesday, 5 days later, and we want to say, well, how's the player now? Well, until he really gets out there and tries to, put some stress on whatever the injured area is, it's hard to really be sure. Yeah, just walking around, going to a meeting, sure, he's fine, but playing football, that's a different story. So we'll see how it is when he gets out there.
Say about a guy who's able to play on a torn ACL.
Well, I think we all know and think that Logan's one of the tougher players on our team. And we have a lot of tough guys, but he's got a lot of physical and mental toughness, no question about that.
Speaking of injury status reports, since it's your favorite topic.
Let's go on that. Right. But fortunately, we don't have to give injury reports now, so there isn't any big debate on it.
Well, could we see Jonathan Finene test something at some point here, somewhat soon?
Day to day.
On that one.
Okay, thanks.